The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
To the Eric Metaxas Show.
I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me. So I am telling you, don't be fooled.
The real Eric's in jail.
And welcome.
Hey, Todd, another time that your joking is inappropriate because my guest in a couple of seconds is the great Daryl Strawberry, who actually went to jail. In all seriousness, folks, this is one of the greatest interviews I have ever done. This is Daryl Strawberry, the baseball legend who had horrible experiences, came to faith. I had the privilege of interviewing him in California at Angel Anaheim Stadium a couple of weeks ago. Do not miss it. Here it is. Okay, holy cow. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I cannot believe I've never done a show outdoors before, but I'll do almost anything to get to talk to Daryl Strawberry. Daryl, is that really you?
Eric, you here?
Yeah, well, is this you?
Welcome to doing a show outside. It's pretty cool,
right? Let me
tell
you something. My first show out of doors, brother.
It's different,
this
right?
This is amazing. People who are listening, most of the people I think listening to this program will know who Daryl Strawberry is. But there are tons of people who will be listening who will not know who you are. So I'm going to tell them. You are somebody that when anybody was a Mets fan or Yankees fan, like, your name is at the top of the list. So I'm not going to give you credentials now. I'll do that before the interview, so I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to see you blush. But I do want to let people know that your story really hinges on God. You know Greg Laurie, who is doing this event. We're at Angel Stadium, by the way. I should make that clear. We're at Angel Stadium. It is 6 p.m. California time, 9 p.m. New York time, so I'm starting to lose it already. But we're here for a crusade that Greg Laurie does every year. And when I heard you were going to be here, Daryl, I just said, I want to get your story because it's an amazing story. So where do I even start with you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up right here in Los Angeles, California.
You grew up in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
When did you know that you wanted to be a professional baseball player?
I think when I was young, when I was around 13 years old, 13, 14 years old.
You knew that early?
I knew in the back of my mind because I came from a broken situation, dysfunction situation. My dad was a raging alcoholic, and he used to beat the crap out of me and said I'd never amount to nothing. So I kind of believed it. So my pain led me to my greatness, but my greatness would eventually lead me to my destructive behavior because I never got well on the inside. So when I was 14 years old, I started watching baseball. I started watching the Dodgers and the Cincinnati Reds. And then I saw number 14 that played for the Cincinnati Reds, and his name was Pete Rose. And I started really idolizing who he was because he wasn't this, you know, outstanding baseball player, but it's his effort and his hustle.
You and I are around the same age. You're like a year older than me, so we have the same experience of growing up watching baseball in the 70s. And there's no question, the Big Red Machine... Pete Rose was superhuman, really.
Yeah, because, you know, his uniform was always dirty. And I just thought to myself, that's what a baseball player is supposed to look like.
That's
He's supposed to have a dirty uniform. And you see him dive into bases at head first. And I just thought he was phenomenal. He wasn't better than Bench, Morgan, Perez, all these other guys. But he outplayed and out-hustled everybody. And I thought, wow, I really want to play baseball because this guy's
George
a baseball
Foster.
Player. Yeah, George Foster, too. He was a home run hitter.
And well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at you. I'm sitting here. Anybody who can see you, you look at you and you say, that's not Charlie Hustle. That's a home run hitter. You have the body, rangy, that people would expect you to be a power hitter, that you would play in the outfield. Maybe you play first base. I mean, it's interesting that you looked at Pete Rose, and he was the guy that you kind of homed in on.
Yeah, because it was his effort, his hustle.
Yeah.
That really stuck to me, and I saw that. I mean, and his passion and his love for playing baseball. Yeah, I eventually go on to be a home run hitter, but I learned to steal bases. I learned to score runs.
Yeah.
You know, I learned to do it all because of watching Pete Rose, the way he played.
What's the most bases you stole in a season?
36, I believe. I went 30-30.
So you were in the fabled club, the 30-30 club, right?
Yeah, I'm in the 30-30 club. I hit 39 home runs, 36 bags, something like that. That's
yeah. And what's the most home runs you hit in a season?
39.
I got to say, I mean, you were a phenomenon in your day. And I want to talk more about that, but I want to get, just in case, because it's noisy here, it's hard to hear, but I just want to make sure people understand that you struggled with substance abuse. You were one of the greatest athletes alive, and in the middle of that, you started dealing with the substance abuse. When did you enter the major leagues?
Well, I entered the major leagues at 1983. I came in, and I was rookie of the year that year. But I struggled way before that.
Already?
You know? Yeah, I struggled when I was 14. I was smoking marijuana when I was 14. I was drinking alcohol, Coke 45, when I was 14, 15 years old.
Well, it's one thing to drink and smoke weed. It's another thing to where it's a problem.
In other words,
a lot of people would think that once you know, your career gets going and stuff, you'd leave it alone, but you did not.
No, it increased. You cross over to the next level. There's so many different levels in professional sports that guys cross over. And I assume
that there were other guys on those teams also using drugs an enhancement.
A lot of guys, we didn't use enhancing drugs, you know, but we used, you know, recreation drugs. You know, I think, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of drinking. Come on, you're playing in New York City.
Yeah.
You become the greatest team playing in New York City in the 80s, the Mets. You know, we go on to win the World Series in 86. We should have won more.
I followed the Mets in the late 70s when they stunk. So by the time we get to the mid-80s, it was like another deal, you know. So you guys
It was a raw deal.
Can you imagine the late 70s? But let me ask you, though. So you're playing. Most people, as they're watching you, they think everything's fine because you're putting up the numbers. I mean, you're doing a great job on the field.
Well, I'm athletic, strong. You know, I have the mind capacity of being great.
Yeah.
I have the body physique of being great.
Yeah.
And I had the heart of being great. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid to fail because failure was a part of it. But the inside wasn't great. Everybody could look at me from the outside and say, what's wrong? But I was completely broken on the inside. I was wounded. I mean, my father left me wounded. I think a lot of times people think, Eric, because you make millions of dollars, it's going to make you well. Money's going to make you well. Money's never going to heal you from the wounds that are up on you on the inside. And I was deeply wounded on the inside. And I was searching for my identity. Who am I?
Yeah.
Not as Daryl Strawberry to play for the Mets, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, but who am I as a man?
Yeah.
And I could never get to that place.
It's amazing what a father can do with the words that he speaks to his kids. And it sounds like your father did a lot of damage.
Yeah, he did a lot of damage. I mean, it is really amazing what a dad can do. And I tell him, I tell kids all the time, you know, I my own kids, I would never damage them. I always gave them positive affirmation about doing well and being the best that you can be, because I know what it was like for me when I was 15 and I was broken, but I was dreaming, I'm going to play in the major leagues because I'm going to take care of my mother. he rejected us. He abandoned us. But
wow.
I'm going to take care of my mom, and I'm going to bring a great life for her. And my sisters thought I was crazy because that's all I used to talk about is I'm going to the major leagues one day and I'm going to be playing.
So you entered the major leagues in 83. Did you start playing for the Mets? I don't remember.
83, I came in. I mean, I was drafted in 1980 by the Mets, number one draft pick. Spent 2.5 years in the minor leagues. I came close to quitting in the minor leagues. And they asked me to give it another year, and I went to Jackson, Mississippi. I became the Texas League MVP, and I became a ball player. I didn't become a man, but I became a ball player.
Right.
And I came up to the big leagues in 83. And my rookie year, my first road trip, a veteran player told me to go back to the bathroom, and there was. I was introduced to cocaine at the age of 21. And he said, "Welcome to the big leagues, kid." And I thought I had arrived. And they took me out on a road trip that night and took me to a club. And it was girls, drinks, parties.
These are your fellow players.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to be a part of it because you got to remember, my father said I'd never amount to nothing.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to be a part of this, you know, because right. I felt like he said I wouldn't be anything, and here I turned out to be this major league player at the age of 21.
Lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DynoVite.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DynoVite.com.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that the annual maintenance fees are right around the corner, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DynoVite.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynavite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DynoVite.com.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-314-4789. 800-314-4789. 800-314-4789.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. And now some more of my interview with the great Daryl Strawberry. So let me ask you, you know, you have tremendous success. You take the Mets to their first World Series in 13 years. It's a big deal. It's a great team. At what point did things begin to go south for you? Or was it not showing until you were with the Yankees?
No, it wasn't showing in my days, my early days, you know, playing there with the Mets. You know, I was at 21, I was an alcoholic. And by the time I got to 25, I was addicted to amphetamines. And I could not play unless I were taking amphetamines every night. So you can imagine, you know, the kind of player I became. I became this outstanding player because I'm taking amphetamines, and they kind of like just light my whole light up every night. And I played like that for years, and I drank for years. And had I known how good I was, I'd have took better care of myself. And I didn't. I go on the road, and I'm out all night, and I'm drinking and partying and girls. And,
right. I mean, you know, you'd have to think that that's going to take, even though you're young, you're not going to be optimal if you're doing that every night.
Well, no, you're not. But at that time, you don't think that way.
Right.
And, you know, every young player think, you know, hey,
I know.
I'm Superman. I bounce back and get up the next day. And I've been out all night, and I'm 2 for 3 with.
You're actually proud of the fact that you pushed yourself that hard the night before, and that you're still able to pull it out. It becomes kind of a sixth sense of pride. So what year did you go to the Yankees? I don't remember.
No, I left at the free agent year, and I went to L.A. I came to L.A. in 1991 after I became a free agent. And you would think, I mean, I signed a $20 million contract, but I was miserable when I signed the contract as a free agent. Well, because my marriage was falling apart. I was an alcoholic. I was a womanizer. So I came here to L.A. and signed the biggest contract of my life. And before the season even started, I went to a crusade, a Morcerillo crusade. And that's the first time in 1991 that I heard about this man named Jesus. I went there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Now, how did you end up at a crusade? And I want to go back for a second. So you grew up without God, without the church.
Yeah, I grew up without God, without the church, you know.
So 1991, what are you at that point? You're in your 20s, obviously.
Yeah, late 20s.
Okay, so how do you end up at a Morris Cerullo crusade? I mean, here you are, you're a big ball player. How do you end up at that?
My first wife, her uncle, he was a Christian, and he said, I just want to take you. I'm not going to force anything on you, but I just want to take you to this crusade.
Well, your marriage was in trouble.
Yes.
And he figured he may have some ideas of how you can turn the corner here, right?
Well, he never told me about it. He said, I just want to take you. It's a big Christian crusade. I says, okay. So I said, yes, I'll go. And I went, and Eric, every night that I was there, all he talked about was Jesus, and I cried every night. I sat up there, and I had to sign a $20 million contract. Everybody would probably wonder, what is wrong with him? He should be so happy. But I was weeping every night, having my head down as he was preaching and talking about the gospel.
That is amazing. And where was that crusade?
It was in Anaheim Convention Center.
So very close to where we are now.
Yeah, it was very close. And I'd never forget it. I always remember it because I remember Sunday when he said he was going to lay hands on everybody who wanted to, you know, be free. And I remember Sunday, I walked down, and he laid hands on me, and the power of God came over me.
Now, when you say that, a lot of times Christians say these things. I always want to say, stop for a second. What do you mean when you say the power of God?
The power of God came over me like I could not. I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. The power of God came over me. I was speaking immediately in tongues. My belly was flowing like a river after he laid hands on me. And his guy picked me up and he says, I don't know who you are. One of his guys, he said, but God has called you. And I thought to myself, oh my God, he sounds just like my mother, because my mother said God has called me.
Is that right?
To preach the gospel.
Are you serious? This is incredible. See, I didn't know this. Look,
a lot of people don't.
And we're sitting here. I know you've said it before, but there's so many people. This is why I would want to get to interview you, because there's many people that are listening now. They've never heard your story.
Yes.
And it's strange that we are sitting here in Anaheim Stadium, in a huge baseball stadium. We're here in what's supposed to be the bullpen. And, you know, people tonight are going to have their lives changed by Jesus. People tomorrow night are going to have lives changed by Jesus. People Sunday night are going to. I'm going to get to pray on that stage on Sunday night. So that kind of stuff is going to happen here. But you're telling me in 1991, it happened to you, and you actually felt the Spirit of God touch you. Because a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people, it's an intellectual thing.
Yeah.
But you felt the power of God, and you said you start speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I'm not intellectual. You know, I'm supernatural. I was touched by God. The power of God came over me, and my belly was flowing just like a river. And immediately speak in tongues. I speak in tongues now. You know,
I speak in tongues too. And if anybody doesn't like it,
yeah,
that's tough. That's tough. No, it's kind of a funny thing, because I also do. And as soon as I became a Christian, that became real for me. But there are many people that don't get it. But
right.
So it's fascinating when you describe it as an involuntary thing. In other words, you're not saying, like, I went, you know, and I heard somebody talk about praying in tongues. I said, you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You're just telling me, you're crying, you go down, somebody prays, and it just happens.
Supernatural. He lays hands on me, the power comes over me, and immediately I start speaking in tongues with power.
And I'm guessing you didn't know what it was.
I had no idea what it was, you know, but I knew my belly was flowing. It was like a river was just gushing through me, And the gentleman picked me up. He said, I don't know who you are, but God has called you.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, and little did I know that God had really called me, because my mother had said, God called you. And my mother was dying, and she said to me one night, I prayed for her. She says, oh, you can pray. She said, but God told me, when she was dying, she said, God told me he's going to get it out of you. She said, you're going to go through it, but God says he's going to get it out of you.
Is that amazing? Did you know that your mother was a woman of God before that?
Yes.
You did?
My mother lived a Christian life.
But she didn't drag you to church.
She didn't drag us to church. She didn't make us go to church. It was our choice. But she prayed for all of us.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was her prayers were answered. She prayed to God, save them. She didn't want anything else but us for us to be saved. And here today, you know, I can't describe what God has done in my life, you know, of me preaching the gospel. I'm not qualified. When he called me 9 years ago to preach, I told him, you got the wrong guy. He goes, no, I got the right one. I says, I'm not qualified. He said, no one is qualified. I qualify the call.
Wow. Well, now I don't want to leap ahead too quick, but I love this. So we are, so you're telling me that you have this event. It happens in 1991. What happens after that? Because I know you had a lot of trouble after that. So what happened at that moment? I mean, you know.
What happened after that was I didn't get discipled. Discipleship is so important.
I know.
I mean, I think we don't understand. I think
okay, so,
the churches
so people
don't
know
understand.
What that word means, right? I'm just thinking there's a lot of people listening right now. They don't know what that means. What that means, because the same thing kind of happened to me. It's like you say, okay, God, you're in my life. But then nobody tells you what that means. Nobody tells you what to do, what not to do, how to grow as a Christian. And so you kind of float along and flounder along. And if you're like a normal person, you're going to get back into trouble.
Right.
And that sounds like that's your story.
Well, because discipleship is about the Bible. You know, and the Bible talks about it. It says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
No knowledge and understanding of God's word.
Yeah.
We know earthly things, but we don't know kingdom things,
right,
because we never picked up the book. And we never studied it for ourselves. We hear a pastor preach it and wonder how he knows so much. And most of the time, the average person never goes to a Bible study to learn, you know, God's ways and God's commandments.
Yeah.
And that leaves us in the same place. That leaves us in the same familiar place, which the enemy knows. that you don't really know Jesus.
Right.
He knows that you know his name,
yeah,
but you don't know his power. And that's what basically happens to so many of us when we come and have this conversion of Christ,
yeah,
and we never go back, and we wonder why we, because the enemy knows that if you never pick up that Bible, he knows you're going back to the familiar.
Okay, so you have this experience, you sign a $20 million contract, and you start playing for the, was it the Dodgers?
Dodgers,
okay,
LA.
Okay, so you're playing for the, how long were you with the Dodgers?
I was from 91 to 95.
Okay, so during those years, did you have any Christian influence at all in your life?
No, I mean, everything, I really, actually, when I got saved in 91, and I was born again, and the media persecuted me because I was in the same Daryl Strawberry.
Oh, they persecuted you because you were public about it.
Yeah, I went public, and you know, I had found Christ.
And they didn't like that.
They didn't like that.
Yeah.
They came against me, and I ran into the wall and dislocated my shoulder the first season. And from there, I went back. I went back out because I didn't get discipled. I went back out for probably another 13, 14 years of my life. And I was lost. I was broken. I was left for dead.
When were you? What do you mean you were left for dead?
Well, I mean, I had cancer twice.
Well, that we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So many summer fields. 65, I was 17.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockster. Good news, bad news for British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. For the first time since Britain's chose in 2016 to leave the EU, lawmakers voted for a Brexit plan, backing by 329 to 299, a bill to implement the agreement Johnson struck with the EU last week. But then just minutes later, legislators rejected his fast-track timetable to pass the bill, saying they needed more time to scrutinize it. The vote went 322 to 308 against. Johnson had planned to push the bill through the House of Commons by Thursday, but now he says he'll pause the legislation until the EU's decided whether to agree to delay Britain's departure October 31st. 2 weeks after a blacking out of much of Northern California, Pacific Gas and Electric is warning dangerous fire weather could prompt another shutoff starting Wednesday to about a half million people. This is SRN News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Hey,
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Daryl Strawberry. Here's some more of that conversation.
So you're not walking with God. You get back into the same old thing. When you go to play for the Yankees at that time, physically and in terms of your prospects and everything, everything's looking good.
Yeah, when I came back. When I actually came back after playing here in L.A., I went through hell. I got into serious drugs. Here in L.A., back home, because I knew all the back streets. It was probably the worst decision of my life, leaving New York and coming here. Had nothing to do with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm born and raised here in South Central L.A.
Right.
So I knew every back road. So I went back into, I went back into heavy drugs and got lost in drugs.
Now, as an athlete, were you still performing, or did your numbers start to...
I started to really decline.
Yeah.
I started having health issues. You know, like my back went out. I had to have back surgery. And then
what year did the Yankees sign you? 95?
95.
Okay, so when they signed you, were they excited? Where were you in your career at that point?
Because you continued to
because you continued to do very well.
I went and played down at well, they signed me in 95, and then they wanted to bring me back in 96, but they didn't. And I figured my career was over by then, so I went and played in St. Paul, Minnesota, for the St. Paul Saints in 96.
Wow. And I missed that.
It was a great time down there. It was a great Mike Vick and Bill Murray and Marv Goldklank, you know, all those guys, you know. And I went down there to play for them, and they kept in touch with George, and George said, can he really play? And that's when I came back. George picked up my contract from there, and I went to the Yankees in 96 and went on to help the Yankees be a part of that 96 run.
Unbelievable. I mean, I didn't think the Yankees would ever lose again. For a few years, it was just on and on and on and on. It was unbelievable.
Well, yeah, we had. I mean, we had.
So who's on those teams? I'm trying to remember now.
Jeter was a rookie.
Okay, Jeter was. That's right. That's where he started.
He was a rookie. You had O'Neill. You had Tino. You had Bernie. We had Scott Brosius. You know,
now Bernie's a Christian, isn't he?
Bernie was Christian. We had Mo Rivera.
Rivera's a Christian.
Yeah, he's a strong Christian. Mo.
Yeah.
He was there. We had a bunch of veteran players that came along. Cecil Field, Tim Raines, myself.
So this has to be when you met my friend B.J. Weber.
I knew B.J. Weber for a long time.
Because B.J. Weber was the chaplain for the Yankees in those years.
Joe Girardi.
What's that?
I met him through
Joe Girardi.
Yeah, Joe. And B.J. was the chaplain. He was a super guy. He was always loving. He was always caring. You know, and I just remember him always just saying wonderful things to me.
B.J. Weber started out before he's doing the kind of thing that he was doing with all these sports teams. He started out working in Times Square with the pimps and prostitutes and the drug addicts. And that was his background. And so he's always been able to minister to people with substance abuse. But I guess my question is, were you open about that at the time that you had substance abuse, or was it still something you're kind of hiding?
I mean, I was open about it. I mean, mine was already in the public eyes. I already knew I had problems. And substance abuse is, like, really strong, really powerful. Addiction is very powerful. I think people don't understand, and they look at people and say, well, why can't they just stop? It just doesn't work like that. You know, because you don't know the trauma. You don't know what's happened to them, what's affected them on the inside.
Yeah.
Because people that use drugs or drink alcohol consistently like we do, something has happened to you that has made you feel not worthy of your own life, even being a star or whatever it may be. And then you have the average person in America that doesn't have addiction problems,
right?
And they have the same wounds on the inside and can't get well.
Yeah.
So, what is it that feels the wounds on the inside? There's only one person can feel them. Only one. We can try everything we want. I can try to be more successful, more money, more fame, more fortune, but it's only one person that can fulfill the brokenness on the inside, and that's Jesus Himself. And I think we need to show people that in the society today, because they're looking for everything else to try to make them well. And here's a guy, I tell him all the time, I stand in the pulpit and preach. I've been privileged my whole life. I've lived behind community gates. I've had a bunch of stuff. But I did not become well until I got into a personal relationship with Jesus. When I understand the symbol of the cross and understand the blood and understand his finished work on that, everything that was killing me, he already killed it. So there's victory. There's true victory. And I think so many of us don't want to receive that.
Have you ever thought of being a preacher?
No, I just like hanging out with him.
It's so interesting because you have lived this. When your worst years, I mean, I remember vaguely, right, that, you know, your name is in the papers because, you know, you picked up a prostitute who ends up being a policewoman. You have everything that you could do wrong, you did. You kept getting in trouble and trouble and trouble. At what point did the Yankees say, we're no longer interested in this franchise called Daryl Strawberry?
Well, the Yankees never said that. George, the boss, never said that.
He never did.
No, he loved me.
So what happened?
He loved me unconditionally. I think Major League Baseball said that's it, you know.
Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I was suspended for that. That was the third time of being suspended.
Because of drugs?
Of drug use, yes. And they banned me for a year, and I just said I'm done. That was it.
Year was that, Daryl?
I knew after the 99 season. After I played on the 99 team and we won, and coming back for the 2000 year, I failed another drug test. And I knew right there that it was over, you know.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, and they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It could be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and again, the Prager Store has put together something new. They have compiled every male-female hour since 2010. We've had topics and calls about marriage, kids, dating, intimacy, fidelity, the truths about what a woman needs, what a man needs. Also includes every segment with my friend and relationship expert, Alison Armstrong. I've done this segment for years. Now you can listen to all of them dating back to 2010. These hours have literally saved marriages. I wish I could read to you all the emails I have received and what people tell me at every speech. A couple will come over with a smile and thank me for what the male-female hour has done for their marriage. Or even gotten people to get married to begin with. For a limited time, the complete collection, 10 years of the male-female hour, 50% off, available on flash drives or as a download, go to PragerStore.com.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
G'day,
I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free. If you have a rodent or pest problem at your home or business, don't spray harmful toxic chemicals. Use Plug In Pest Free, the electromagnetic pest control device that uses your wiring to get rid of pests fast. Just plug it in. One customer had a warehouse with a rat problem. He was catching over 20 rats a day. He called pest controllers, but nothing solved the problem. Then I came along. My plug-in pest-free commercial system got rid of the rats, and since then he's seen maybe 3 in the last 12 months. Plug-in pest-free is not a sonic device. It's chemical-free and gets rid of pests safely and effectively for years. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 2-year warranty. Now that's fair dinkum. Order today and get 20% off at gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget with Plug In Pest Free.
When are you gonna come down? Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. And now, more of my conversation with the legendary Daryl Strawberry. Okay, so what, at that point in your life, I assume you have money, you are on your second wife?
Second wife.
Was that okay or not?
No, that was, I destroyed that too. And I was lost and broken. And I went down a real dark road. And until the third wife, Tracy, came into my life, God used her to lead me back.
What year was that?
That was in like 2003. After I got out of prison, I ended up in a Florida State prison.
You know something? Why did you go to prison?
Addiction. I kept breaking the rules, violation of probation. So I stood in front of the judge and I said, I'd just rather be dead. And she says, well, that's not going to happen. So she kept sending me back to jail. I says, well, they wanted to send me to another treatment center. I said, I don't want to go to treatment anymore. I said, just lock me up. And they sent me to a Florida State prison in Gainesville, and I spent 18 months in the correctional center.
When did you get cancer?
I got cancer in 98, after the 98 season.
I don't want to skip over that. I mean, this is amazing what you have been through, Daryl. You're going through all this stuff. You get cancer.
Twice. 98 season and then 2000 it reoccurs and I lose my left kidney in the second surgery. So it was...
You're operating on one kidney now?
Oh, yeah, I'm operating on one kidney, man. God is good. You know, people need to know how God really is.
Okay, you lost a kidney. You lost about 18 inches of colon.
Yes.
That was the second surgery.
That second surgery.
Did you think you might die?
I wanted to.
You wanted to die?
Yes. But God brought Tracy in my life, and she was pulling me out of dope houses in South Florida.
She was pulling you out of dope houses in South Florida?
I was shooting dope and
that
smoking
That woman
crack.
Over there talking to my wife?
Yes.
She was you met in, she was also in recovery, correct?
Yes. We met at a convention, an NA convention, and she had 1 year clean, and I had like 5 seconds clean. I had just come back from like a 6-day binge of smoking crack, and I was at the convention with some of my sponsees and sponsees brothers, and I met her, and I told her she didn't want. I said, you don't want to get involved with me. I'm dangerous. And she did, and she saw it. She saw how dangerous I really was. I was very sick, and then I started shooting dope, and something
so
I had never done.
After you met Tracy, you were still shooting dope.
Yeah, I started shooting dope.
Now when
you
say shooting dope, what are we talking about? Heroin?
Heroin.
When you go to that level of shooting heroin, I mean, you hadn't been shooting heroin. What pushes you to that? Is it just still the same pain? You just want to kill the pain?
Yeah, it's still, you're still trying to fill the void that's inside, the emptiness on the inside. I think that's why we have such an epidemic today with opiates and heroin addiction, why young people are dying, is because of the pain that's inside, and they never deal with what happened to them. And Tracy came into my life, and God used her for me to deal with what happened. And I had to deal with it. And once I faced it and dealt with it, and once I went back to my father, who was in the hospital, when the Lord sent me, I was in California to do a men's conference. The Lord sent me to the hospital to go see my father and make me go repent to him.
What year was this?
Somewhere in 2006. Well, after my transformation.
So the transformation, what did that look like? In other words, you meet Tracy. You're still struggling horribly. How does she manage to get you to see something you had not seen in all those years?
Well, because we were together, and then she woke up one day and she says, I don't know what you're going to do, because I was at the bottom. I was $3 million in debt and didn't have a driver's license. We were living in her parents' house. And she woke up one day and said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to follow Jesus.
Now, had she been a Christian before that?
Well, no, she had just become in a relationship with Christ. She was just starting to
follow. So while you guys were together,
yeah,
she found Jesus.
She found
Christ.
How
did that happen for her?
Well, she got introduced to Jesus through someone in an AA program. A woman brought her to a Bible study.
Yeah.
And she found the Lord.
Okay, so now she finds the Lord, and now she says, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to follow Jesus.
She said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And I said, I don't really know what I'm going to do. I said, I think I'm out of here. I'm going to leave. And she says, I think you need to do that. And I left. I decided to leave. And we broke off the relationship. We didn't know if we were going to be back together or not.
Yeah.
And the Lord sent me away for 6 months.
Right.
And I came to California, stayed with my sister and her two kids. And I remember the first night I got to the house, I took my Bible out and was about to open it, got down on my knees, and the Lord said, don't open that Bible. And the Lord said, I've been waiting for you.
Are you serious?
I just lost it. I cried.
I want to ask you, though, because when people say the Lord said, how did you know the Lord said that?
Because I know his voice.
What do you mean you know his voice? You heard a voice.
You know his voice. You know he's the Lord. You know his voice. As a Christian, just because you have not heard from the Lord and you've been born again and you go through some struggles and some time, and when that the Lord finally decides to stop you, he speaks. Okay.
So you're on your knees. The Lord spoke to you.
Oh, he spoke to me.
And why did he tell you not to open the Bible?
Because he said, don't open the Bible. He says, I've been waiting for you. And I just lost it.
It's so amazing to me that God would say that he communicates that so tenderly. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's his love. I think a lot of times, Eric, what happens to a lot of people is they don't listen. They don't shut their brain off. You know, if you shut your mind off, God is always speaking. But it's those that shut their mind off and listen to what he has to say. And I think a lot of times people don't do that, because you know what I found out by myself why I was never hearing from God? Because I was always too busy. I was always in a hurry to go nowhere. And I think that's what happens to so many of us. We're in a hurry to go nowhere, and we don't spend time with God, because God speaks.
I'm feeling I'm coming under the power of conviction right now, brother. That has been, no, what you just said, I mean, it's so obviously true, but it's just interesting the way you just put it. So God speaks to you. I've been waiting for you. This is like 2007, six?
Yeah,
five,
six.
Someplace in
at
there?
The beginning, beginning of me and Tracy getting the
back. Okay, so what happens now?
Well, I lay with him and saturate myself in the Word for 6 months.
Apart from Tracy?
Apart from Tracy, apart from drugs, apart from women, sex, everything. First time in my life I stopped everything for 6 months, and it was just me and God in the Word. And I was going to church two and three times out of the week. I was going to help feed the homeless. He says, get over yourself. Get up. Do something different. I had nothing. 6 months of laying with him in the Word. He started supernaturally. He says, saturate yourself in the Word. The Holy Spirit supernaturally is going to teach you. Then he says, go back and marry Tracy and start. And we started with nothing, me and her. $3 million
in debt. You had less than nothing. $3 million in debt.
I came with $3 million in debt. She goes, you're going to have to clean all this
up. You needed to get $3 million to have nothing.
How was the doctor?
Not what I expected. I have arthritis.
What? How can I help?
Well, the doctor gave me a rundown on what to know and what to do, and also mentioned a symptom tracking app called Arthritis Power. It can help me and the doc manage my arthritis better.
Well, great. Let's download it from the App Store. Arthritis Power?
Yep, it sounds easy. I just have to answer questions about my pain and other symptoms once a week. It only takes a few minutes. The doctor says that seeing my symptoms over time in this app can help us understand how my arthritis is responding to treatment.
That's cool. Now don't forget to use it, old man. You'll be helping yourself and your doctor.
Old man? can, what does that make you then?
If you have arthritis, download Arthritis Power. Arthritis Power is from the nonprofit Global Healthy Living Foundation and its patient community, Creaky Joints. Your information is protected, and there's never a cost. In fact, you could even be paid for participating in research surveys about arthritis. For more information, go to arthritispower.org or search for Arthritis Power in your app store.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. Good news, bad news for British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. For the first time since Britain chose in 2016 to leave the EU, lawmakers voted for the Brexit plan, but minutes later, legislators rejected his fast-track timetable to pass the bill, and now Johnson says he planned to push it through the House of Commons by Thursday, but he'll pause it now until the EU's decided whether to agree to delay the departure on October 31st. Less than 2 weeks after blacking out much of Northern California, Pacific Gas and Electric warning dangerous fire conditions could prompt another shutoff of power, this time on Wednesday. About a half million people could be affected in the Sierra foothills and to the north of the San Francisco Bay Area. Any blackouts would last about at least 48 hours, according to the utility. This is SRN News.
1 year ago, my book, Gold is a Better Way, became a national bestseller. It remains at the top of the charts today. Since that time, gold is up more than $300 per ounce. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I teach investors about gold. Now, you can buy my book or, even better, watch my latest video presentation right now for free. It's called The Great Devaluation. It was seen live by thousands at my annual gold summit and explains how central banks have lost control, why stocks and bonds are set to collapse, and why gold will soar to $5,000 per ounce in the next few years. People are calling it the best presentation on gold they've ever seen. Just text the word GOLD to 49776. I'll send it to you right now, no questions asked. Text the word GOLD to 49776. Text the word GOLD to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Text the word GOLD to 49776.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is now the final segment of my extraordinary conversation with the legendary Daryl Strawberry. So you get married. Obviously, she's walking with God. It seems to me like at that point, you're good.
No, I mean, it's the process. It's the process of going. When he brought me and Tracy together, he made me sit in the back of the church, not the front. He said, I want you in the back. He sat me for 7 years. Because of discipleship. He did not move me for 7 years.
What city were you in?
St. Louis.
So, okay, that's where you are now.
We sat for 7 years. We hid out for 7 years. People were wondering, where is he? What is he doing? And people were contacting other agents and said, well, we want to do a story. We want to do a book. Tracy was like, no, we're not doing stories, books. God's
now,
working
how did
on
you,
it.
How did you keep it together financially?
Had a little... She was... Worked in real estate. And she had sold her house down in Florida. She had money.
Yeah.
And she had cars. She had everything. So she took care of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The woman right there talking to my wife. It's so great that she's here.
Yeah.
When did you decide this is what I want to do with my life? I want to start a church? Because, again, there are people listening right now. They think of you as, you're a ball player. You, for a number of years with Tracy... You started a church? You're running a church in the St. Louis area, right?
No, we never started a church.
You never started a church?
I never wanted a church.
But you guys preach.
Yeah, we started doing ministry together.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I never wanted a church. I never felt called to operate a church because I had been in a lot of churches and I've seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I decided that's not what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And I was hoping that God never called me to it.
Yeah.
And Tracy was constantly studying the Word of God. You know, I watched her. She gets up every morning. For 18 years, we've been together. I watched her. She gets up every morning at 5:30, and she goes study.
I hate people like that. Tracy,
I know,
hate
me
you.
Too.
I hate you, Tracy. No, that's just...
It's different, you know? And I was always like... I was like... Eric, I was like, God, why are you always speaking to her? And he says, God, you know what God told me? She spends time with me. And I was like, oh, that's...
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
Is spending time with him. So guess what? I started staying up late at night, and I started spending the time. And, I mean, supernaturally, he just, I mean, the Bible just, poof, started coming alive. And, you know, scriptures supernaturally started retaining inside of me. And I started, you know, speaking a different way and talking about the kingdom and talking about what it sows. And before I knew it, God started sending me this place, that place, and now he sends me everywhere.
I want to ask you, you mentioned the thing with your dad. I can't believe that. After everything you went through with him, you said that God sent you to his hospital bed.
Sent me to his hospital bed and made me repent to him for me keeping him out of my life. God says, how dare you not forgive him, and I forgave you. And I went and repented to him, and my father said, yes. I said, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? He said, yes, and a tear came out of his eye. And I said, I'm sorry for keeping you out of my life and my whole career. And I just lost it. I laid in his lap, cried, just lost it, just sobbing. And then God says, raise up. And I raised up, and God says, lead him to me right now. And there was.
The Lord told you to lead your father to himself.
Yeah. He said, I said, you know the Lord has changed my life, and I'm a different person. He was like, yeah. I said, would you like to accept him as Lord of your life? He said, yes. I led him in the center prayer to the Lord.
This is called a happy ending, Daryl.
It's a very happy
that
ending.
That is so beautiful. I can't believe that. I did not realize this.
Yeah, very happy ending. That's a very happy ending with who God is.
That is so beautiful. Because a lot of people, you know, your parents pass away, you don't get to do that.
Yeah, I was able to do that.
To have that, what a gift from God to you and to your father.
I was able to lead my whole family to the Lord. Outside of my mom, I led my sisters.
Your mom was already there.
Yeah, my mom was already there. My two sisters and my two brothers, God used me to lead them. Yeah. To come back.
Unbelievable.
So I'm forever grateful for grace.